Good morning. Welcome to Lakeland. We are looking at A Fisherman's Tale, so we thought we'd get the king of modern fishermen up there. My name is Garrett. If we haven't met before, I'm one of the pastors, and I'd love to maybe meet you after the service if we have a few moments to talk. We in the church are in the season of Lent, so the purple on the cross represents the season of Lent. Lent is a season of reflection and a season of repentance that happens for 40 days before Easter Sunday. It's a time when we examine ourselves deeply in the hopes that God will change our lives for the better. And we are looking at the life of Peter, who was a fisherman in the Bible, to help us understand what it's like to be on a spiritual journey. Peter shows up next in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 14. After Jesus has fed the 5,000 people on a hillside. So we'll pick up there. Immediately after this, Jesus insisted that his disciples get back into the boat and cross over to the other side of the lake while he sent the people home. After sending them home, he went up into the hills by himself to pray. Night fell while he was there alone. Meanwhile, the disciples were in trouble far away from land, for a strong wind had risen, and they were fighting heavy waves. About 3 o'clock in the morning, Jesus came toward them, walking on water. When the disciples saw him walking on the water, they were terrified. In fear, they cried out, "It's a ghost!" But Jesus spoke to them at once. "Do not be afraid," he said. "Take courage. I am here." Then Peter called to him, "Lord, if it's really you, tell me to come to you, walking on the water." We're using the life of Peter this Lent to help us learn more about our own journeys. And so here we are on Sunday morning. Many of us trying to follow the way of Jesus. And some of us who maybe aren't sure about that have at least come to church seeking something spiritual, some sort of path, something that is missing. And it would seem that Jesus has sent us on ahead to row across the lake by ourselves. And in many cases, many of you have now hit some rough water. Maybe you found out you don't know God quite as well as you thought you did. Maybe you aren't as close to Him as you used to be, or as close as you would want to be. Maybe you just don't feel like you have what it takes to row through the storm that you are presently in. And then, as if that isn't enough, suddenly you see something figuratively speaking on the ocean. A ghostly figure rising and falling. You can just catch glimpses of him every once in a while when your waves go down for a moment. This is something you did not expect to happen, that in the middle of your storm, Jesus would call to you. That may have come a variety of ways. It may have been something you read, something you saw, maybe a sermon that you heard that made you feel uncomfortable, that in the midst of this storm, Jesus would call you to some sort of change. Maybe it was a friend or a relative or a coworker who said something to you like, "You need a real spirituality. You need something based in something true, not something you've cobbled together from other stuff that you heard and made up for yourself." Maybe you've just noticed the emptiness and the hollowness within yourself all on your own. And somewhere in there, you sense this voice calling to you to make a change. If our scripture story is true this morning, it would tell us that about 11 out of 12 of us aren't going to do anything about that calling. We're just going to stay in our boat because it's stormy out there and wait for this storm to calm down. But a small number of us, maybe about 1 out of 12, maybe just one person per row sitting here this morning, will say, "Lord, if you will call to me, I will come." Is it you? Some of you will do what Peter did. Now, last week, during the first Sunday of Lent, we invited everyone to take on, in addition to fasting, to also take on something for the season of Lent, to try something new that will move us closer to God. And if you have your program this morning, there's a handout in there that has kind of a grid on it. And if you want to take that out, this grid has several suggestions of things you might do during the season of Lent to grow toward God. There's also a Lent calendar out on the table you can pick up as you go for families. It has 40 days worth of one-day experiences that you can have. So, last week, some of you were invited to finally, during the season of Lent, declare yourself a follower of Jesus. Others to begin reading the scriptures. Others to pray, perhaps spend time in solitude praying as Jesus did. Some to move toward generosity, perhaps even to begin to tithe 10%. Others to seek out spiritual friends for this journey. Others to become more regular in worship, to just be part of the church on a more regular basis. Others to seek forgiveness or to forgive someone who has wronged you. Some of you last week circled that you would try to serve in ministry, try to find a place in the church where you can serve. Others to serve the poor and the forgotten and the oppressed around the world. And if you haven't got a chance to read that thank you note in the Hope Center in your program, you should. That was amazing. I did not realize that much generosity came from this body during the Christmas season. Some of you circled that you would want an opportunity to share what Jesus has done for you with friends, family, co-workers. Still others, this isn't on the list because I forgot, but to make room in your life, to be hospitable, to invite people over again. Remember when you used to have people over? Others to end racism in your heart, in your workplace. And then there's a blank space because some of you, the Lord has been calling out to you very specifically to make a change. It's not one of those things, but it is something. And you know what it is, and you could have written it in right there. So we'll get to that in a moment, but first we need to give folks who weren't here last week, who are here this week for the first time during Lent, to catch up. So what we'd like you to do is take a look at that and see if one of those things, don't get overachiever and try two or three and snow yourself in. One of those things during this season of Lent, between now and Easter for 40 days, could you try to take up to draw closer to God? So I'll be quiet here for a moment while you read over that and think that over. And then everybody circle something, whatever you had already picked last week or something new. And we'll start there. So let me be quiet and give you a moment to think that over. We'll keep thinking that through. If you need some more time, that's fine. But now I'd like to talk to those of you who were here last week. I know, just because of how we all are, that some of you have just circled something different this week than you did last week. And some of you did this because the thing you picked last week, it didn't work out. It did not happen. You didn't read any scripture last week. You didn't spend any time in prayer. You're not showing up this week with an offering. You did not tell any friends or families or coworkers about Jesus. You didn't even pray that you would. Some of you did not seek an opportunity to serve the poor or to show hospitality. You got out of the boat and you immediately sank. Why? Because life happened to you. You made some great plans last week and then you stepped out into the stormy sea and realized it's even windier than you thought. Just like Peter in our scripture story today. Then Peter called out to him, "Lord, if it's really you, tell me to come to you walking on the water." "Yes, come," Jesus said. So Peter went over the side of the boat and walked on the water toward Jesus. But when he saw the strong wind and the waves, he was terrified and began to sink. "Lord, save me," he shouted. So you think that you failed. You think that we had 1 week of Lent and you already washed out. You stepped out of the boat and you sank. So you're going to try something else. Or some of you just picked something to humorous. You're not going to do anything. You're not going to declare yourself a follower of Jesus or seek out spiritual friends or become more regular in worship. You know, now that you think of it, you might not even come back next week. You'll not seek forgiveness or extend it to someone else or serve in a ministry team or end racism in your heart or in your workplace. You're going to stay in the boat because it's stormy enough in your life without trying to add something else to it. You're just going to wait and see if this storm will just calm down. And here's the ugly truth about that. You're probably doomed to your present condition if you do that. Nothing will change if you do that. When you step out of the boat like Peter, there's an excellent chance you will sink. But if you stay in that boat, there is 100% guarantee that nothing is going to change. You will not grow closer to God if you change nothing. Elin Guder wrote a book, and it's quoted in this other book. And here's what she wrote. You can live on bland food so as to avoid an ulcer. Drink no tea, coffee, or other stimulant in the name of health. Go to bed early, stay away from nightlife, avoid all controversial subjects so as to never give offense. Mind your own business, avoid involvement in other people's problems. Spend money only on necessities and save all you can. You can still break your neck in the bathtub and it'll serve you right. And all my friends are saying, Garrett, that almost exactly describes your life. I know. I know. You and I are wrong about what this life's about. We are not here to walk on water successfully. I know everything tells us our life is all about succeeding and thriving and up and to the right, and it's just not true. But we are not here. That is not what life is about. Life is about and has always been about this: to live in God's world on God's terms and draw closer to this God who loves us. All that other stuff is the other stuff. To live in God's world on God's terms and draw closer to this God that loves us. That's what it's really all about. And the reality of that journey is you're going to sink. And you're going to cry out, Lord, save me. And he will not let you drown. All these things in this grid, this is not some sort of spiritual examination. This is not Jesus' SAT test. These are practice problems. And every single one of them points you towards God. And every time you say no into bringing something spiritual into your life, you get a little harder on the inside. You become a little more resistant to change. It makes it a little easier for you to say no next time. Pretty soon your habit is who you are. You're that person who's frozen. You never say yes to anything new. A story says when Peter saw the wind and the waves, he was terrified and began to sink. Save me, Lord, he shouted. Jesus immediately reached out and grabbed him. You have so little faith, Jesus said. Why did you doubt me? When they climbed back into the boat, the wind stopped. Then the disciples worshiped him. You really are the Son of God, they exclaimed. Does anyone else find it strange that Peter was worried about wind and waves? He steps out of the boat to walk on water and then sees, oh, wait a minute, it's windy out here. I can't do this. As if it mattered that it was windy and there were waves. As if that lake was as smooth as glass, he could have just toddled right across. No, Peter, you can't, not only can you not walk on stormy water, you can't walk on any water. This whole experience was about the power of Jesus. He was not being given an opportunity to do something really spiritual and succeed at it. He was being given an opportunity to see who Jesus really is, to see the power of God. All the things on this list are the same. To seek time to pray in solitude, that is not about showing how holy you are. Now you can just spend hours and hours making up stuff to say to God. It is an opportunity to experience this miracle that God will speak to you. To give generously and to tithe, that is not an opportunity for you to show how generous you are and how good at money managing you are. It is the only place where you can experience this miracle that God will provide for you all you need. To serve on a ministry team in the church, that's not about being a good soldier and giving back out of gratitude and be part of it because somebody's got to. It puts you in a place where you can learn this truth that you'll never learn any other way, that God has given you a gift that will make an eternal difference in the lives of those around you. To join a small group or to begin seeking spiritual friends, that's not for spiritually needy types or to, you know, get out there and socialize and hubbub a little bit. It puts you in a place where you can learn this essential truth, that one of the greatest gifts God has given us is friends for this journey and oneness with one another. To serve the poor and the forgotten is not about healing the world and making it a better place in a Michael Jackson sort of way. It puts you in a place to do something that you never knew you could do, that you could be the hands and feet and the love of God to others. And your heart will grow to a size you never thought possible. Any of those things you circled can become a journey. Now, sure, in the story, our boat sitters did worship Jesus, and they did say, "Truly, you are the Son of God." So they did get it. But who do you think was the most changed that day? Whose life is influencing our lives the most this morning? Peter, who got out of the boat and walked on water for a minute and then sank. And Jesus rescued him. And is he a failure? No. Lent, the season of Lent, is going to be 40 days. So you sank in a storm during the first 10. Big deal. You have 30 remaining. And why is Lent only 10 days old now instead of 12? Why? It's 12 since last Wednesday. Why don't we count the Sundays? Because Sunday is the Lord's day. Sunday is the day he was raised from the dead, and Easter Sunday, the actual day. It is a day to celebrate that he is risen. And that's why we don't fast. If you're fasting during Lent, you don't fast on Sundays. Now, some will say, well, that's cheating, because, you know, you only have to fast for 6 days in a row, and then you get to take a little break. Well, it's cheating if this is all about you and how tough and cool that you are. But if it is all about the Lord Jesus, then every seventh day we stop from our reflection and our fast and we say, you know, without his power, I can't do anything. And so here on this Lord's Day, I'm going to eat my chocolate and play my video game and watch a little ESPN with a huge smile on my face and say, he is risen. Amen. Jesus is the true power behind all we do and the reason for all we do. So you who are in a storm, do not be afraid. Anytime someone, a good friend told me this year, and this is true, anytime you try to change your life in any way to draw you closer to God, any little thing you add, the first feeling that you feel is irritation. Irritation, because that thing you're trying to add does not fit in your life as it is. But here's a truth, if you don't keep trying, 100% guarantee it will never fit. With Christ, there is no failure for those who try. If you step out of the boat and you sink and you cry out, Lord, save me, you still get preserved in the history of the faith as a hero who stepped out of the boat. We always live our life with these two things in mixture, faith and fear. We try to soldier up and act like we don't have fear, but if we didn't, why would we be clinging to faith so hard? We always have this mixture of faith and fear, and we're just trying to live into the faith and let it lead. Jesus is always giving us tough problems. Ever notice just when things get right? And he's always grabbing our hands when we start to sink. Jesus is the true power behind all we do. So those of you who are in a storm, do not be afraid. Or at least lead with your faith. So a few months ago, one of our young men who's in the underground Bible school in China, teaching in an illegal, by Chinese law, setting, English in the Bible, writes me an email. He says his students are fighting amongst themselves and fighting with him. He says he's ill-equipped, he's failing, and he should have known better. That's madness. He left the most comfortable nation on earth for a developing country where Christianity is tightly controlled. He went to another culture to do things he was never trained to do. Why did he think he should have been able to walk on that water? But he got out of the boat. And God is with him. And great things are going to happen to him and to those students through him because of his courage. Family stopped me last Christmas and said they tried to read the Bible with their children there in their living room, and they just did it once and they quit because their kids were just too squirrely. That's craziness. You are trying to read to a generation that has grown up watching television and playing video games. That family is trying to bring quiet to a home that has only ever known busyness and chaos. Why did they think they should be able to walk on that water? But they got out of the boat, those parents. And God is with them. And great things will happen for them because of their courage. They should stick with it. Matt Turnbow is on the Lakeland staff here, actually. He's our facility director. He and his wife, Jody, have been with us for several years now. And Matt has agreed to share his story of getting out of the boat and what happened after that. So let's welcome Matt.
My name is Matt Turnbow, and this is my story. I come from a long line of preachers, father, grandfather, great-grandfather. Growing up a PK, I swore I would never work in a church. After college, I married, and the wife and I decided to move to Kansas City. She found a job teaching, and we bought a house. I took an entry-level job with a medical supply company. We started attending Lakeland. We had dreams to live overseas for a while or to move to the mountains someday. Nevertheless, we settled into our new home and began building our careers. I didn't care too much for my job repairing and delivering hospital equipment, but I worked hard and the job got better. 8 months in, I was promoted, and 10 months in, I was invited to move to the headquarters and take a position as the regional operations manager. Then we attended Lakeland's Move Conference. We were dared to move. We had been called to a change. We prayed for direction and some doors to open. We contacted an organization to help us find jobs teaching overseas. We interviewed, were accepted, and guaranteed a placement. We quit our jobs, sold two cars, downsized from a three-bedroom house to a pickup truck and a small trailer. We rented our house and were even able to raise funds to go on a pilgrimage to China. Everything was timing out perfectly. While in China, we found out our placement in Belgrade, Serbia. We got home from China, and 2 weeks later, we boarded a plane for Belgrade. This was to be our big adventure. What did God have for us next? We would be missionaries at a secular school in a former communist country in Eastern Europe. We talked on the plane about what we might do next. Maybe become world travelers, leading mission trips, become multilingual and use that to spread the good word. Maybe we'd come back to the States and find great jobs in Colorado because we'd be so marketable now with our global work experience and our bilingualness. We arrived in Belgrade and met with a teacher from our new school, and she let us stay with her. At our training, we found out we did not have a guaranteed position, but a guaranteed interview. We were competing with 14 others for two positions. We spent more time with a few of the other current teachers, all looking for new jobs because the administrator wouldn't pay them their owed wages. We also found out that the administrator would not sponsor us for a work visa. During a meeting with the school administrator, he said, "What's legal, what's illegal? If you get caught, I'll just bribe some officials, don't worry." We also found out we would have to pay double the normal rent to bribe the landlord who would claim us as long-lost cousins in country for an extended visit. We found out the consequences for working on a tourist visa were deportation, a $30,000 fine, or Serbian jail. We had enough money to stay in Belgrade for 2 weeks and look for other jobs or go home with about $1,000 in our pocket. We contacted the sending agency, and they told us they provided a placement, and contractually, that was all they had to do. Jody said, "I just want to go home," and I said, "Okay." A week after we had left, we were right back in Kansas City. We had renters in our house, so we moved into my sister's basement. We substitute taught for 2 months when a chance to move to Colorado came along. I got the super exciting job of selling lift tickets to Gene skiers from Texas and old men in lime green one-piece snowsuits. Nevertheless, God had us right where he wanted us, submitting to his will, relying on him to provide for us. Then came the big news. We were pregnant. A decision had to be made. Then some friends from Lakeland came out to ski. Chris Lee told me about a position opening up at church. We remembered how much we loved Lakeland and missed the folks here. And we did own a home in Kansas City. Why not live in it? It had been 11 months since we had left for China. The wife took a teaching position back at the same school, and I was waiting to hear about a position at Lakeland, a church. God had put us right where he wanted us. I wanted a big, grand adventure. What God wanted was simple, obedient submission. God said, come follow me, and I will lead you home. My name is Matt Turnbow, and this is my story.
Thank you, Matt. Two college pottery classes did not know they were participating in an experiment. One college pottery class was asked to make pottery, it's pottery class, but they'll be graded on quantity. 40 pounds of pottery and you get an A. 30 pounds of pottery, you get a B, and so on. A second parallel class was told, in this class you only have to make, for the whole semester, one piece of pottery. Pour all of yourself into it. Which class do you think, by the end of the semester, actually produced the best pieces of pottery? Tell your neighbor for accountability purposes. Quantity or quality, which one was it? If you said quantity, you are correct. The class asked to make 40 pounds of pottery for an A actually produced the best pieces. Why? Because the way we grow is not one great magical opportunity that we pull it all into. The way we grow is to step out of the boat and find out that didn't work so well, and to try again, and to make another piece of pottery and find a way that it could be a little better. Think, make something else and think, I could try something new. And 40 pounds of pottery later, you're pretty good at it. So a couple comes up to me last year and they said, we want to make some friends here in the church. We signed up for a small group. We did not hit it off with the people just relationally. So other than small groups, what do you have in the church as a recommendation to make friends for this journey? I said, have you tried signing up for a serving team? Yes, but what else you got? I said, I don't have anything else. That's all the suggestions that I have. But I'd like to ask you, do you normally make friends with the first people you meet wherever you go? Did you marry the first person you ever dated? I know some of you did, but you're messing up the thing. Was the first piece of pottery you made your masterpiece? And they said, you're going to tell us to try another small group. I said, yeah, I'm going to tell you to try another one. And know that Jesus is the true power behind all we are trying to do, and so do not be afraid. Try another group, try another serving team, but don't you dare climb back in that boat and expect something to change. So during the season of Lent, we're all going to try to draw closer to God for 40 days. And you may have 20 or 30 or 39 days that don't really work and you're just splashing around. But what if on that 40th day your soul comes alive and the connection with God is made? Who would call you a failure then? No one. Certainly not somebody who stayed behind sitting in the boat waiting for some especially special opportunity to come around that never did. So I would say don't switch your spiritual focus. Just slop through the same thing you messed up last week. Crank out another 10 pounds of spiritual pottery. You will get better. And remember that Jesus is the true power behind all we're trying to do. And all we're trying to do is to point toward him so we cannot fail. And so you who are in storms, do not be afraid. So now I'd like us to stand for the benediction, but we'll do it a different way. We'll stand this way in stages. Well, those of you who during this season of Lent are going to try to read the scriptures, will you stand? And those who during the season of Lent are going to try to declare yourselves a follower of Jesus, will you stand? And those who would like to begin to pray and seek out solitude for prayer, would you stand? And those who are seeking generosity, you may be moving toward giving and tithing, would you stand? And when those of you who are seeking spiritual friends for this journey, would you stand? And those who are just trying to come more regularly to worship and build in a Sabbath rhythm, would you stand? And those who are seeking to forgive someone or to be forgiven, would you stand? And those who would like to try to serve in ministry somewhere here in the church, would you stand? And those who would like to look for an opportunity to serve the poor, or the forgotten, and the oppressed of the world, would you stand? And those who would like an opportunity to come to share your faith in Jesus with a friend or a family or a coworker or a neighbor, would you stand? And those who are making room in your life by inviting people over, remember when you used to invite people over? Would you stand? And those who would like to end racism in their heart and in their workplace. And those who are called by God to do something, and it's not on that list, but you know what it is. God's been calling for some time. Would you stand? And those who haven't decided yet, but you would like to think of something, would you stand? And now everyone else. And for those of you who just couldn't bring yourself to stand for anything, may God have mercy upon you and bring you the thing that will move you toward Him. Now to all the rest, we have this benediction. Wind or no wind, keep your eyes on Jesus. He is the true power behind all we are trying to do. He called you out of the boat. He encourages you. He reaches out to grab you when you falter. You cannot fail. You will not drown with Him. Go in peace.